This evening we're continuing our series of studies in the Old Testament law, and these are the topics we've covered so far. It's a pretty diverse list, and I've really enjoyed being able to talk about a whole bunch of very different subjects. It occurred to me this week that there is probably a perception among many Christians that studying the Mosaic law is a bit dry and not particularly relevant to our lives today. But as you can see from the subjects we've covered, that's far from the truth. These commandments that God gave his ancient people address many of the issues that we're dealing with today. That was particularly true last week when we considered a law about men wearing women's clothing and vice versa. We saw how it speaks to the whole transgender revolution that we're coming to terms with in our world today. This evening we're going to look at another commandment. And again, it's one that we probably haven't spent too much time thinking about. And it's a long way from what we looked at last week. Our last study was fairly heavy, but this evening is going to be a bit more devotional in nature and a bit shorter. Tonight we're going to consider a law for little birds. And our text is Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 6 and 7, which says, "If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam, that is the mother bird, sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would give us understanding as we study your word. I pray that you would help us to find the truths that you have for us here. I pray that you would help us to think more and more biblically. And we just commit ourselves into your care in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what this command prohibited and what it permitted is fairly straightforward. If you happen to find a bird's nest in a tree or on the ground and there were eggs in the nest or there were chicks in the nest, you could take the eggs or the chicks, but not the mother bird. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I suspect a person would take birds' eggs or chicks for food. Maybe the eggs were cooked and eaten, or they would raise the young ones, and then when they were full grown, there was dinner. Perhaps in ancient Israel there were other parts of the bird that were put to use, like the feathers or the talons. Another possibility is that birds of prey were kept and used in hunting. I don't know if that was a practice in Israel, but it certainly was and continues to be so in other cultures. And so the command itself is pretty clear, and you might be wondering why on earth we're having a study on it tonight. Surely this is among the most obscure texts in the Bible. And that is true. But it actually tells us some very important things. This command is the application of some very deep and abiding truths. Now, what I want to give you tonight are five things to think about. Five things that this command communicates to us. And we won't spend a whole lot of time on each one, so don't worry. First of all, this command about birds tells us that God cares for small things. I mean, why would you bother, right? This body of law dealt with some of the biggest and most significant aspects of human relationships and human society. It dealt with property rights and inheritance. It dealt with marriage and sexuality, with the administration of justice. This body of law gave instructions for worship, for the tabernacle, for the priesthood, for the festivals and the holy days. In one sense, this A body of law was what transformed a people into a nation. This is akin to our nation's constitution. And yet, the Lord thought it was important to give his people this law about little birds. And God cares about them too. God loves even the smallest creatures in his world. Now I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. You've probably thought of it too. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, 5 little birds are sold in a market for next to nothing. You know, insignificant creatures. A business transaction of barely any consequence. And yet, those little birds were known to God. And loved and cared for by God. And the message for Jesus' disciples was this: but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know, if God cares for sparrows, Jesus was saying, well, he most certainly cares for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Now, God cares for small things. And that's a great comfort to us, because in many respects, that's what we are. Compared to the whole of creation, we're just little specks. Compared to the grand sweep of human history, we're the same thing. We're not significant people in the world's eyes. We're not famous. We're not influencing world events. We have very little influence in our own community. They're not going to write books about us when we're dead. We're just plugging away in our small corner. But God knows. And God cares about us. And God values us as human beings who bear his image, and he values what we do for his kingdom. He is watching over us like he does little birds. And so we don't need to worry. We don't need to fear. We can be encouraged. We can live our lives with purpose, with hope, and with joy. Now, this commandment tells us that God cares for small things. Secondly, it reminds us that God has given mankind dominion over nature. If we were giving this command today, I wonder if we'd say the same thing. Would you? I think many, if not most people in our society, wouldn't say what the Lord said here. I think they'd say something like this: if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the mother bird sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, you shall not touch it, you shall leave it alone, you shall not take the eggs, the chicks, or the mother bird. We, with our modern sensibilities, with the way we think about animals and the environment, would recoil at the idea of taking eggs or chicks out of a bird's nest. But the Lord permitted his people to do that, to take those young birds for food or for whatever else they may have been used for. Now, I'm not advocating that we do this. We have plenty of delicious poultry available to us at the supermarket. We can buy eggs by the dozen. We don't need to take eggs or chicks from a nest. We live in a very different time and place, and I would suggest that we do leave birds' nests alone. But that said, it is important that we maintain a proper perspective on the animal kingdom and on the natural world in general. We live in an age where people are not as clear about this as perhaps they once were. We live in an age where the created order is being undermined and distinctions are being broken down. God has given the plants and animals to us. We are not subservient to nature. We're not on par with the animal kingdom. No, we have dominion over the natural world because we have been made in the image of God. That's what sets us apart from the plants and the animals. And as you know, this goes all the way back to the creation of man. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, "And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air," there's the little birds, "and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God has also permitted man to use animals for food. Genesis chapter 9 verse 3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you." So we can use animals to meet our needs. This law in Deuteronomy chapter 22, which might seem a bit harsh to us, was simply a reflection or an application of the order that God had put into his creation. Now, what's really wonderful about this commandment is the balance that it strikes. It reminds us that God has given mankind dominion over nature, but it also shows us, thirdly, that God wants his people to be good stewards of the natural world. You could take the chicks from the nest, and probably the eggs as well, but not the mother bird. Why? That's not rocket science. It was because a mother bird could have more young. Now, a magpie lives for about 25 years. A female can have as many as 6 eggs in a clutch, so you can do the math. Say she has 2 chicks that survive into adulthood each year. That means she could produce over 40 offspring in her lifetime. I don't know about the life cycles of the birds native to Palestine, but I think you can see the point. A mother bird could have more offspring, and that's why she was not to be taken with her young. This law would preserve the bird life in Israel, and this would have flow-on effects for the animal kingdom and the environment. One scholar puts it this way: "Birds are well known to serve important uses in the economy of nature. The extirpation of a species, whether of edible or ravenous birds, must in any country be productive of serious evils. But Palestine in particular was situated in a climate which produced poisonous snakes and scorpions, and the deserts and mountains would have been overrun with them, as well as immense swarms of flies, locusts, mice and vermin of various kinds, if the birds which fed upon them were extirpated." This is a very important point. We all learned about the food chain or the food web in school. We understand that predators play a very important role in maintaining the overall ecological health of a particular place. If God's people hunted a species of bird to extinction, that would affect the population of insects or whatever else that bird ate, and that would affect the plant life, and so on. This law was about the natural world meeting human needs, but it was also about human beings caring for the natural world, keeping it healthy, looking after the plants and the animals. Now, man's dominion over creation doesn't authorize him to slash and burn, to wantonly destroy plants and animals for his own benefit. It's about stewardship. And that's why, on the one hand, we are right to be wary of the ideology of environmentalism, and yet, on the other hand, we should be people who care about the environment. We see that right here in this command about birds. And that brings us to the fourth thing for us to think about, the fourth message this command communicates, and that is that God does not want his people to be greedy, destructive or cruel. Now, because of sin, we all have a tendency to be greedy, and sadly, some people get a kick out of being destructive and cruel. And we have these evil impulses, and this law was intended to restrain those impulses in this particular context. I love what Thomas Coke wrote about this in his commentary. He was a contemporary of John and Charles Wesley. He said, "This is one of those merciful constitutions in the law of Moses, which, inspiring the minds of his people with a regard for the animal creation, tended much to humanize their hearts, to breed in them a sense of the divine providence extending its care to all its creatures, and to teach them to exercise their dominion over that animal creation with gentleness. Now, God didn't want his people to be brutes, if I can put it like that. He wanted them to be humane. He wanted them to care for each other and to care for his creation. If they were going to take the eggs or the chicks out of the nest, God wanted them to think about the mother bird, about the relationship between a mother and her young, and recognize what they were taking away from her. Now, there were similar laws about animals and their offspring. Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. Thou shalt not seethe, that is, boil a kid in his mother's milk. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 28. And whether it be a cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it and her young both in one day. In the same way, these laws were about God's people being humane, treating animals with dignity, even as they were slaughtered. These laws were about recognizing the bond between a mother and her young and not becoming ruthless and cruel. And it's interesting that even today, in the secular world, in Western countries, people take great care not to be cruel when slaughtering animals. For example, an animal is normally not slaughtered in the sight of another animal to prevent fear and distress. There are hundreds of regulations concerning animal welfare and government agencies that make sure they're followed, and that's a good thing. That's evidence of the influence of the Judeo-Christian worldview. God did not want his people to be greedy, destructive or cruel, and that extended even to little birds. And the same applies to us. Now, you won't find this particular command restated in the New Testament. This law is not repeated by Jesus or the apostles, but they did have a lot to say about not thinking and not behaving like those who don't know the one true and living God, those who don't recognize the order he has put into his creation. Greed and cruelty were bad in the Old Testament and they're bad in the New. Our stewardship of the natural world is not an Israel thing or a church thing, it's a creation thing. It's not Old Covenant or New Covenant, it's true in all ages until the new heavens and the new earth. So let's make sure we are good stewards. Let's take care not to be greedy or inhumane in the ways that we interact with the natural world. So that's some of the deeper truths this command reflects. As we've seen in all of these studies, this law might seem far removed from our experience today, and yet it has tremendous relevance. It has some things for us to consider and to apply. There is one more thing that I want to draw your attention to before we close, and I think it's very interesting. The fifth thing for us to think about is this. Did you notice the promise? At the end of the command, Moses said this, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest prolong thy days. Now, observe this command concerning little birds. Why? So that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest prolong thy days. Does this sound familiar? I mean, it should, because this was what the Lord attached to the fifth commandment in the Decalogue. Honour thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 16. This is repeated in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. Honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, this expression, or one very much like it, appears in several places in the law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, it's used in reference to all the statutes and commandments, Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. This is a study for another day, but Israel was promised material prosperity if they kept the law. Now they would live long, happy lives in the land if they were obedient. And so we can understand this promise in that light. But you do have to wonder why the Lord attached it to this particular command. There are many, many others in the law that don't have this expression appended to it. Why this one about birds? Is there any special significance? Well, to be honest, I don't really know. But I think it does reinforce the truth that God cares about his creation. He cares about the plants and the animals. Even the smallest creatures are precious to him. And it did occur to me that if a person was diligent to keep this commandment, they were probably diligent to keep the more significant ones and so experience the covenant blessing. If a person took care of little birds, if they were humane towards animals, then their heart was probably in the right place. If they treated the least of God's creation with dignity and respect, then they probably did the same towards those made in God's image, just as we should. And so, that's another lesson from the law. There's some things for us to think about. It's important that we have the biblical worldview when it comes to the animal kingdom and to the environment in general. And it's important that we are good stewards of what God has blessed us with. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have after I close in prayer. Let's pray.